Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's good to see you. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for wearing face coverings and everything else. I'm not wearing one because the leader of the service is allowed not to, and you'll see the readers when they come up take their masks off. But thank you very much for coming, and it's good to see old and young gathering together. Going to light this candle, which we've done every week since we started, just reminding us that the Holy Spirit is here, which is great. Do you want to bring a chair? Yeah, bring a chair forward, you know. That'd be a cuddle next to the piano. That'd be great. It's wonderful, isn't it, that when two or three gather together in the name of Jesus, he's promised to be here. I don't know about you, but it's very easy to get quite distracted with everything else that's going on. So let's just have a moment, whether it's looking at the candle or the pictures that are here or the cross, whether it's thinking of the view we woke up to this morning or whatever it might be, let's just spend a moment knowing that God is here. Thank you, loving Heavenly Father, that you welcome each one of us. You are so pleased to see us here. Settle us now, we pray, by your Spirit, that we may see Jesus, that we may know more of your love, and respond to you in worship, in awe and wonder. Speak to us, we pray. Transform our life, change our lives to become more and more like Jesus. Amen. Just a couple of notices this morning. There are some sheets which David has put out from Caroline and Victor, the missionaries that we support who go to Guinea. I just realized, watching Pointless yesterday, that I should have chosen Guinea as a country with IN, in it. And I would have got about four. Was it point? I think it would have been a pointless answer. So fool me that I didn't choose Guinea. For those who don't watch Pointless, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But there's enough people who obviously do to know. So if you want to know more about Guinea and make sure next time Pointless has an IN in it, then, you know, you'll remember. But do take this with you. They've gone back to Guinea, and they've got, it's titled here, Seeing God's Hand Upon Our Return. And that's encouraging, isn't it? So do take one of these and pray for them. They're in the, by the table on the left as you go out. You've got some stuff that Andrew's going to be talking about on the right, and there's some other stuff on the left. So you'll have to be really well coordinated as you go out of the building this morning. Just a reminder also about the book table. There are books there for you to borrow, to take away. Do sign on the form if you're taking one away. I thought I'd just mention this was given to me by Janet Preston. Inside Out, this is John Lord's story. John Lord, lovely guy who's in the Bay, working with Paul Knights at the moment, very much an evangelist. And this is his story. So if you think I need some encouragement about the transformation that God can bring in a life, then do read it and give it away. That's the idea of these books, to give them away. Now, we have a certain person's birthday, and it's no, Josie, don't worry. I know what I'm doing. You can trust me. Calm down. It's all right. Have a joke, it'd be fine.
Has anybody got a birthday here today? Come on, Christine, don't be shy. Everybody told me it's your birthday, so it's good to celebrate, folks, particularly this time. We're a family, aren't we? So we're going to say happy birthday to Christine. We can't sing it to you.
but we can say it, can't we? So happy birthday. I can't remember the words. How does it go?
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christine. Happy birthday to you. Isn't it really weird what happens when you lose music? You completely lose. It's quite interesting, isn't it? We really miss music, don't we? As we have songs this morning, Leslie's been playing beautiful songs. As we have the songs on the projector, we can't sing, but we can enter into them and be blessed with music. And we need music to worship. I'm going to read a passage at the moment from Scripture, but has anybody got a reason to worship the Lord? Our thought, for particularly the children, they're going to be looking at, it's time to worship Jesus. It's time to worship the Lord. That's our first song in a moment. What reason have we this morning to worship the Lord? Is there a particular thing that's happened? Some encouragement? Some vision? Any particular reason to worship the Lord this morning? Liz? Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Jeff and Liz. Jeff?
Just to say he's very good to us.
He's good to us. Liz.
It's a sunny day.
It's a sunny day, yes. All the windows are open, the doors are open in here, the heating's on. But it's, that's fine, it's the way it's got to be. But the sun is pouring out. In fact, it was cooking, Sheila, on the door there. We have children here. Can we give a round of applause for our children, please? Yes. We love our children. I love our children. Any other reasons to praise the Lord this morning?
For being alive.
Who is anybody alive here? Is anybody alive? Yes! And who has been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ? Who is going to live for eternity in a home prepared by the Lord Himself? Amen. So is that a reason to be cheerful? Yes! Yes! We have many promises in the Bible, and every one of them is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We could spend all day actually telling one another of reasons to worship the Lord. But just to lead us into our first song, I want to read some verses from Revelation. And Revelation can be a bit troublesome, a mystery, something you avoid, something you get over-involved with. Above all, Revelation, the book of Revelation, the end of the Bible, is a revealing of heaven. What's going on in a place that we don't see? They pull back the curtains. And what you see all the time, and the main thing that Revelation is about, is worship. That's where you see God in His awesome majesty being worshipped. So I'm just going to read a few verses. After this, I looked. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." We have an opportunity as people of every tribe, nation, people and language, we have an opportunity now, young and old, to worship the Lord. Come, now is the time to worship. Lord, I pray that you would release our hearts in praise and adoration and worship. You are the glorious majesty and you are good. And yes, you send the sunshine. You send the rain. You've given us life eternal. Lord, we worship you.
Father, we thank you that we can come as we are. We can come before you, Lord Jesus, because of what you did on the cross for us. And we thank you, Father, that your arms are ever open to us, no matter what we may be feeling, thinking, that you call us to come. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that great privilege, but we thank you for that great cost that you paid for us. That we can come and worship the Almighty God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Father, thank you that you accept us into your presence, that we can come into the Holy of Holies and know that because of that love that you shed, that we are accepted.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, we just ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, will speak to our hearts today.
Yes, sir.
Lord, may our hearts hear what you are saying.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, we just want to say this morning that we love you, we love you, we love you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we thank you this morning that Jesus made a way.
Thank you, Lord.
When there wasn't a way.
Thank you, Lord.
And now we know that we have a sure and certain hope.
Thank you, Lord.
If there's anything that's solid in this world today, it's you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And your word.
Thank you, Lord.
We can trust upon it.
Yeah.
And know that you will fulfill it. And that one day we will live with you in your kingdom.
Yeah.
Forever and ever. That's solid. We can trust that.
Thank you, Lord.
I can trust that. I can lean on that.
Thank you,
Lord. And know that it's going to come to pass. And you will bring us all, the redeemed, into your great family in the heavens.
Thank you, Lord.
And we shall forever live with you. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' yes,
name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray that you would help us continue in worship as we hear your word, as we seek to obey your word. That we continue in worship as our children have their activity, thinking what it means to worship and enjoying creating something new. Lord, I pray that in everything that happens here, it will be centered on you and bring glory to your name. Pray you bless our children, bless Rowena and Josie who are working with them this morning. We thank you for them. We pray they may know you deep within their heart. Amen. Right, it is time to go upstairs to room one. So Rowena's going, Josie's going, and children, if you'd like to go, this is your time to go, to make something. You can show us what you're doing. And that would be great. You're welcome to go, Connie, or you could stay with Mum, whichever you want to do. It's whatever you want to do. I have missed the thud of children going up the stairs. I've really missed it. Oh, isn't that a good sound? We want a lot louder sound, don't we? Can we have our reading, Andrew?
The reading is Acts chapter 15, which is a nice long chapter, so make yourselves comfortable. And the big advantages of reading is that you don't have to wear the mask all the time. This is on page 1110. 1110. A certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they travelled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles should hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written,
'After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago.'"
"It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, men who were leaders among the believers. With them, they sent the following letter:
"The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell."
So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Next bit later. Father, we thank you for Andrew, who's read your word, and we thank you for Andrew, who's going to preach your word. May we hear your voice and obey. Amen.
As we look through Acts, we've come to chapter 15, the council at Jerusalem. We've seen the church born, people saved in their thousands, miraculous conversions, Paul, chapter 9, escapes from prison, Peter, chapter 12. When we come to chapter 15 and see the heading, the council at Jerusalem, we think to what's gone on before, we think it's a bit of a letdown. But as I was looking through it, three things stood out that we can apply to our lives as individuals and as a fellowship. The first thing, verse 10, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? If you like football, you know the hardest job is to be a manager. Everyone at every football club wants success. What happens if a team's near the bottom of a league? They sack the manager, get a new one in to try and give them the success that they want. Is it possible, you see, the yoke is success for every football club, but is it possible to have a yoke in the church today? Yes. If you've had a position in the past and you've handed it on, you might have handed it on with the words like, but we've always done it this way, we've always had that there. It's very hard taking on a new role if you've got that yoke of, but you've always got to do it in a certain way. As a fellowship, we can often say, we've always had this, always done that. In the end, we yoke ourselves with traditionalism, and it's a very hard yoke to break. We need to make sure that we're not yoking people with stuff that they don't deserve, that we don't deserve, that Jesus doesn't want us to have. We need to make sure we're not being yoked. The Tuesday night prayer meeting is led on a rota basis, but we don't have a set formula. Whoever leads can start with what they want. A Bible verse, a hymn, some words from a Christian magazine, whatever it is, we haven't got a set formula for the prayer meeting. That's fellowship. What about your personal life? You might have grown up and you've had these words spoken to you. Why can't you be more like your brother, your sister? Look at them. Look at their school reports. Look how well they're doing at their drama, their sport. Whatever it is, you've always been brought up. Even now, you feel as though you've always been compared to how well they're doing. Not you as a person, but how well they're doing. If you're in that position this morning, I want to encourage you with these words. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Or Matthew 10, verse 30. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Today, let go of what's been said to you. Jesus loves you for who you are. He loves you. He died for you. You are special to him. Not your qualifications, not your success. He loves you for who you are. Later on, we've got the hymn, Jesus, We Celebrate Your Victory. The first verse says, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. You might think that that is drug or alcohol abuse, you're yoked to that. But it could be your past words, past hurts that you've always carried. Jesus can set you free. The second verse, His Spirit in us releases us from fear. It doesn't have to be just fear. Any yoke that has been held you, Jesus can set you free. So that then you can sing the chorus, Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Jesus, we revel in your love. Jesus, we rejoice you've set us free. Or you might say, you've set me free. Jesus, your death has brought us life. The hard one, what about ministers? It's easy to look back with fondness over ministers you've had in the past. Perhaps they led you to Jesus, baptized you, married you, ministered to you in a special way when you're going through a difficult time. The problem is when we try and yoke them with the ministers that we have now, we go, oh, that one was good at that, this one not so good. Brilliant at that, not good there. We need to accept Stephen isn't the past minister, he's now. He doesn't minister like past ministers. But past ministers didn't minister like Stephen. Stephen has different gifts and abilities to what they had. It's easy to try and yoke Stephen against others. One example would be Stephen goes down to the inn on the quay for preparation. In the past, we've had the ministers or his out in the vestibule there. You could have tried to drag Stephen in there every week. It wouldn't have worked. It's not his style. But past ministers, we could have tried to drag down the inn on the quay. It wouldn't have worked for them. Every minister is different. I came across this. It's from a very old book I had called 1001 Humorous Illustrations for Public Speaking. It's an American thing, but I hope you see what I'm trying to get at. It's called The Perfect Pastor Found. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and sits down. He condemns sin, but never steps on anyone's toes. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., doing everything from preaching sermons to sweeping. He makes $60 a week, gives $30 a week to the church, drives a late model car, buys lots of books, wears fine clothes, and has a nice family. He always stands ready to contribute to every other good cause, and to help panhandlers who drop by the church on their way to somewhere. He is 36 years old and been preaching 40 years. He is tall on the short side, heavy set in a thin sort of way, and handsome. He has eyes of blue or brown to fit the occasion and wears his hair parted in the middle, left side dark and straight, right side brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with the youth and spends all his time with the senior citizens. He smiles all the time while keeping a straight face because he has a keen sense of humour that finds him seriously dedicated. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time evangelizing non-members, and is always found in his study if he is needed. Unfortunately, he burnt himself out and died at the age of 32. See, there isn't going to be a perfect pastor apart from Jesus. Everyone is different. We must make sure we don't yoke every minister against everyone. They've all got different abilities. The last one I came across was the last yoke, those who can and cannot be saved. It's easy after being saved a long time to start sitting in judgment. We see the down and outs in town, the unkept, those with tatty clothes, people with nose studs, tongue piercings. And we think, ooh, not in church, ooh. But you know, Jesus ate with sinners. It was the religious who complained. We think those who are in prison might be beyond saving. Yet the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The hymn, To God Be the Glory, verse 1, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in, not just the smart, respectable people, all may go in. Verse 2, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. We need to make sure that we're open to all who come in through the doors, that they see Jesus in us, that we don't yoke them. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Paul wrote, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5 verse 1. We need to make sure our words aren't yoking other people into stuff they don't need. And if we feel we're being yoked, we need to let it go. Let Jesus take it. The second thing is verse 12. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul, telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony is important. Barnabas and Paul shared what God had done. We as a fellowship have a testimony to what God has done. What about the Cross Link Center, the fire, how God provided the funds, where, what it's being used for now? We have a wonderful testimony as a fellowship. Where I work, there are no other believers. The one thing I have is my testimony. They might say, where's God in the coronavirus? They might say, scientists say the world was formed by atoms colliding. But you know, I'd simply say, Jesus died for me. He rose. My sins are forgiven. They cannot take that away from me. Your testimony is yours. If you want to start praying because you don't know what to pray for, pray the word sin becomes more relevant in today's society. In John 16, 7 to 11, the Holy Spirit will convict in regards to sin. Yet when I mention sin at work, I get a blank look. People don't know what sin is anymore. I say all your bad words, your thoughts, you think, no, that's not me. They might say murderers, rapists, child abusers, that's bad. Compared to them, I'm all right. But I say the one thing that gets in the way is sin between you and God. John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Pray that people will see they can't save themselves. They need Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 5, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We need to bring people to the cross. It's what the early church did, it's what we need to do. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Remember, we were all sinners once until we knew Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Your testimony is unique and special to you. If you saw the last Haven news sheet, you'd known there was a client there who had been banned from there, banned from the night shelter. He's come to faith in Jesus. He was asking for forgiveness from the haven and the night shelter. You might not have that sort of testimony. We've all come to Jesus at different times in our lives in different ways. But you can simply say, I know Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And the third thing is verses 30 to 32. So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're living in difficult days, the coronavirus. But if you look at Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, chapters on the last day, you'll see earthquakes, famines, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. They're all happening on a regular basis. I think the other week, somewhere in England had an earthquake, a small tremor, but an earthquake. These things are happening so frequently. And yet it's with these verses we need Acts 15 and Hebrews 10. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. The world knocks each other down. It gossips. There's backstabbing going on so people can get up the promotional ladder. All sorts of things happen out there. But when we come to church, we need to make sure we build each other up. We need to encourage and strengthen. That's what we found in Acts 15. In the foyer, as you came in, you would have seen cards. They're in twos. I want you to take them away, and I want you just to write to two people, two believers in this fellowship, if you're a visitor, people in your own fellowship. They're not large cards, so you haven't got to write a lot. But pray who you can write to. Bring the cards back next week, the week after. Encourage each other. We need to be a blessing to each other. The church needs to be a place where we can just encourage one another. When we leave here in a few minutes, it's a difficult world out there. When we come here, we need to go away strengthened, uplifted, knowing that Jesus is going with us into a difficult world. So as I conclude from Acts 15, three things. Am I putting a yoke on anyone else by my words and what I want? Or am I living under a yoke of what others expect? Let Jesus have it. How is my testimony? And am I building up and encouraging the believers in the fellowship?
Thank you, Andrew. We want to encourage you with gratitude for your word to us. So thank you. Let's pray, giving God time to work in us. Lord, we know sometimes we have put a burden, a yoke on someone else. Unrealistic expectations or comparisons, whether in the family, the church, or at work, or somewhere else. Lord, forgive us where we have placed a burden on someone else. Pray, Lord, also right now in the name of Jesus, you would lift off and remove from everyone here any yoke, any oppressive burden that has been placed by words spoken or words withheld. Pray you'd set your children free from the past. Lord, we know that some things that were spoken to us 20, 30, 40, 50, even 80 years ago, still have power to hold us. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you would release them. And Lord, release our lips to share our story. Lord, you've been saying this to us for the last year or so, and you'll keep on saying it. Share your story. Tell people what the Lord has done for you. And Lord, I pray that through these cards and through other ways too, you would enable us to build up one another, encourage one another. May we make use of every opportunity to speak grace and truth, to speak the truth in love, and to build up the body. You said, Lord, the whole body is built up in love as each part does its work. And so right here and now, we want to commit ourselves but to playing our part to strengthening the body of Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. David, I wonder if you could go upstairs and let Rowena know we're now at that point of the service where we're going to worship again. There's no rush for them to come down because they may be in still middle of, you know the drill. We're now going to encourage Joan because Joan's got the responsibility of switching out of easy worship, which is anything but, onto a separate video for our next song. So Joan's going to do that, and we have time. If it takes the next 5 minutes to sort the oh, it's there. Now, hold on a moment. Let me just turn the lights off, and that will... For those who don't know, there's a strange thing called a mouse, and the mouse has got to end up there, Joan. That's where it's got to end up, right?
Jesus, we do celebrate your victory. Thank you for that hymn that stirs us. It's true. And we thank you that you have set us free. Thank you, children. Can you just, before we sing, can you show us what you've done? Paul, can you hold it up? Take it up. Can you show them? Come up here.
We have so long to see children with us. Give us a round of applause. Come on. Come on, Connie. This is Connie with Mum Liz. Connie and Liz are often at Messy Church. And wow, look at that. Can we have a round of applause for that one as well, please? Beautiful. It says on there, time to worship Jesus. And I'm really pleased the hands are all different times. Because it's always time to worship Jesus. Have a seat, children. Excellent. Thank you for those who work with them. Let's sing, Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Does anybody want a banner at this point? As you can tell, I'm a bit enthusiastic this morning. Do I need to apologise for that? Anyone want a banner? Do you want a banner? Yeah, I want to have a banner.
Pink one.
Anybody else want a banner? Jesus, we celebrate your victory.
You want one?
Yes.
That's all right. Ian's not below. That's okay. Girls Brigade, don't they teach catching? Stephen's good. Right, one more time. Yeah. Oh dear, party.
We have an opportunity now to pray just for a couple of minutes.
We want others to know this freedom, don't we? We want others to know this freedom. What we've sung, actually, picking up Andrew's point, we could just give somebody those words.
So I'm not very good with words. Read that. He has saved us. He has set us free from fear. We right now know people who are held captive by fear, who have sin still upon them. They can't get rid of it. Who are broken. So just in a moment, quiet. You might want to say a name if you're happy to say a name out loud. But let's give to the Lord those we know are held captive and need to be set free.
for anybody who's in prison, either in this country or somewhere around the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, bring my daughter to you.
Captive to fear of their health deteriorating and not being able to do anything about it. For release for those people who've been held captive by the words spoken over them by parents, by spouses, or people at work, people who've been crushed. Lord, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted and you can bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted and set people free. So, Lord, we pray, release those who've been oppressed and held captive by cruel words. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you would bless us, that we be a blessing. And Lord, may we increase in confidence that we have good news to share in Jesus. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may our tongues be loosened to speak of you. Amen. We're going to finish our service with a blessing. And this blessing is provided by others. And children particularly, I would encourage you to look, because on this blessing we're going to see, there are children and adults who are putting actions to the blessing song. And I particularly like this action. It's talking about the generations, which is the beard. It says, the word goes out to, what's it say here? It says, may his favour be upon you and a thousand generations. Who's got a beard? Yes, yes. So the idea of a thousand generations, you know, all people have beards. I don't know if that's true. That's the idea. There's a generation, but also, and your family and your children. And so, that is an action for the children. It's not a patronizing thing, it's a blessing thing. You're just shorter than us, so if we reach out to you, we put our hand on top of you. We can't do it physically now, but as we have this song, may I encourage you to do the actions. And there's peace. I don't know why that's been chosen. Maybe it's drawn a line under it. I don't know, but it's peace. There's some beautiful actions. May I encourage you to enter into this as a blessing upon one another and take it with you. Each and every one of you, and that's a loving message, a true message we can take out today. Bless you in the name of the Lord.